Man, it's good to be back. I've missed you all, church family. Good morning. It is good being with you. I've missed you all dearly. Lauren and I have missed you all. As Mr. Lee said in his opening remarks, this is a church that's been with me since the beginning. We've been together for a long time now, haven't we? You've been influential in my journey as an evangelist for the Lord, and I'm just forever grateful and thankful for what you've done for me. What you've done for my family now. We locked it down. We got it done, church family. I'm happy about that. You've been with me, and you've helped me, and I want to say words can't describe. I'm not going to say that because of Jonathan, but it's truly just, man, words like gratitude come to mind, joy and love for all that you've done for me. I'm just so thankful, church family. And I'm thankful to be with you this morning. I'm thankful to be back in the Sunshine State, as they call it. I don't really know why, but it's good being with you. And I'm thankful for the time that we can spend together diving into God's Word and studying His Word and seeing how we can live better, how we can be better servants of King Jesus in the world, how we can serve Him more faithfully. I'm thankful for the invitation from the elders, thankful for the invitation from Don and JB and Carrie to be back here. And I hope that the time we spend together will be profitable for the kingdom of God. And so this church can continue to do what it does and be influential in this community, influential in this city, and help save lost souls together as a united front. This morning, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for a lot of the text that we're going to be studying today. So I encourage you, if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be looking at that in just a moment. I do want to take you back before we dive too far into the lesson to a moment that Lauren and I had in boring adulthood, now that we've entered it. The other day, we were binge-watching a show on Netflix on the couch, and I needed to purchase something online. And I didn't have my wallet on me, but Lauren's purse was right there. So I said, hey, throw me your purse. I need to get a debit card and purchase something online. So she throws me the purse. And as I'm digging around for one of our debit cards, I come across a gift card that had been hidden there for like what we believe, maybe years on years in her purse. Again, amazing moment in the life of adulthood, right? We rejoiced over that one. And it got me thinking, as I saw that gift card and we found it after it had been missing for so long, it got me thinking about all the gift cards that just go unused year after year for whatever reason. Maybe grandma gets you a gift card and it's one, you don't really go there, but she thinks you like it and so you play along, right? Or maybe it's a gift card that has inadequate funds. Maybe it's a $10 gift card, you spend $9. It's kind of hard to use that gift card, so maybe you don't. It got me thinking, how many gift cards, how much money just goes unused year after year from these little plastic cards? And here's what I discovered. According to a CNN article done recently, there is $21 billion, U.S. dollars, currently on gift cards across the world. $21 billion. Now, here's the astonishing thing in what they discovered. They argue, and what their studies show, is 75% of all gift cards go unused. For whatever reason, completely unused for whatever reason. Maybe it's those inadequate funds, maybe it's expiration dates like you saw in the past. 75% of all gift cards are not used to their entirety. And that's pretty astonishing, isn't it? That's kind of frustrating in a way. You know, that could be good for the economy, get people in the door. Lauren and I are part of the problem though, so I'm not gonna harp on that too much. But that's astonishing, isn't it? All this money, millions of dollars, goes unused year after year. For whatever reason. And you know where I'm going with this, don't you, church family? I think this happens all the time with God-given gifts, too. And let me rephrase that. I don't think this happens with God-given gifts. I know this happens with God-given gifts. God's word is clear that His church is comprised of individuals. The body is comprised of members, each blessed with gifts and talents to be utilized and used in the kingdom of God. He makes that clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. So we're talking about spiritual gifts. We're talking about talent and skills in the kingdom of God. Look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is it for this reason any less part of the body? And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, is it for this reason any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the hole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members in the body, each one of them just as he desires. In that context of gifts and talents, what is Paul saying? What is he making undeniably clear? That the church is comprised of members like this, each blessed, each one of them blessed with skills and talents in the kingdom. And it's not just 1 Corinthians 12. It's other passages like 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As each of you has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Romans 12 and verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. What's the undeniable message of Scripture, church family? We've been blessed with gifts and talents in the kingdom. It's not portrayed as you might have a spiritual gift, you might have some talent, you might have some skills that are useful in the kingdom. It's portrayed as you do. You do. All of you have skills and talents and abilities that can be used in the kingdom of God for its good. And so the question that I want to explore this morning together is, are we neglecting those gifts? Are we not using those gifts that God has given us and blessed us with in love for us? And that question is rooted in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, where Paul would say to Timothy, young Timothy, don't neglect the spiritual gift within you. There's a struggle. There's a temptation that we all face, Timothy would face, to neglect the spiritual gift that he'd been blessed with. And by the way, but before we get too far into this lesson, let's go ahead and put this out on the floor, right? Go ahead and say this. When we talk about spiritual gifts in the kingdom, we're talking a whole lot more than just public speaking, right? More than preaching, more than song leading, more than leading, you know, communion. We're talking about more than that, church family. There's so many skills that can be used in the kingdom of God. Think about mathematics, man. That's not something I'm very good at, but I've seen how people have used that for the Lord's work and helping making sure we're in compliance with the government. I've seen social media skills, social graphicking skills. I've seen people use their extroversion in the kingdom of God to greet and to welcome, to make this place a warmth, a warm environment to go to as visitors. I've seen introverts, man. Introverts have these one-on-one conversations with people and emotionally intelligent and talk to them. I've seen people that are just so talented at hospitality, talented at baking, use that for the kingdom of God. Certainly was a recipient of that when I was here. There's so many talents in the kingdom of God. And so when we say this talent, this phrase talent, when we say this phrase skills or abilities, we're talking a whole lot more than public speaking and preaching and teaching. All it's just so we're on the same page this morning. But what's the temptation? What's the temptation? What's the struggle for whatever talent you've been blessed with, whatever ability you've been blessed with in the kingdom of God? The temptation is to neglect. The temptation is not to use. And the case I want to make this morning to you, church family, is it's really easy. It's much easier to neglect the gift within us than to use the gift God has given us. And that's not because we're evil people. That's not because we're morally depraved people. It's just kind of the reality of the world we live in. I think there's a lot of reasons why we might neglect the gift within us, why we might not use what God has given us for the kingdom of God. I think about the busyness of life. Man, life is busy, isn't it? I've been doing the adulthood thing for 6 months now. Man, it is crazy, right? We have six fish now, by the way. I think that's about the equivalent of half a child. So Laura and I are living a pretty busy life right now. It's just, it's crazy. It's going at 100 miles an hour, isn't it? But what is using our gifts? What do our talents, what does that require fundamentally? It requires we show up. We show up on Sunday mornings, certainly, Sunday nights, and on Wednesday, and even in the day-to-day life of seeing the brethren and encourage them to use our gifts, to use our talents in the kingdom. We got to be there, and we got to make time to do that, and that's hard. I never want to be the preacher that just assumes, man, it is really easy for you to be here on a Sunday. It was really easy for you to get all the kids to be here and to come. It's really easy after working 40, 60 hours a week for some of you in your corporate jobs. Man, it's just easy to be here. It's not. It's hard. And because it's hard, because it's difficult, I think sometimes we can fail. Sometimes we can fail to use the gift within us, the gift that we have been blessed with, because, man, life is just moving so, so quickly. So that can just fall by the wayside. I think about this. Think about a phrase, pass the buck, right? I think often we can neglect the spiritual gift within us because we pass the buck. We might recognize we have these spiritual gifts. We might recognize we have these talents. We have these abilities and skills in the kingdom of God. But what can often happen, and I think this is the devil working, church family, what can often happen when we recognize we have these skills and abilities, we can begin to say, you know, other people are really better at doing this. Other people are already doing this. I'm just going to let them do it. Maybe we recognize our gift is extroversion and talking to people and making people feel welcome, certainly a gift in the kingdom of God. And we think to ourselves, man, what can we do with that? Well, maybe we could have people over. Maybe we could invite people over for dinner. There's never a dull moment, right? Never awkward silence at our table. We love doing that. But then what do we begin to think? Well, man, the Hammond Trees. Man, I remember being a college student here. The Hammond Trees always had people over, and it was a great time. Play can jam, eat in their backyard. I mean, it's just great. What can we begin to think? Man, that's just their role in the kingdom. That's their role in the kingdom. They do such a good job with that. I'm going to let them keep doing that. I'm going to let them keep hosting people. I'm just going to stand to the side. I'm not going to use my spiritual gift. And maybe we look at ourselves, and again, we have that extroversion, that warm and welcoming demeanor, and we say, maybe I could give out handouts. Maybe I could greet people at the door. But Simon does a great job with that. He's always chasing people down, right, making sure they get their handouts. Anna Stringer, she's always telling jokes. That I'm just going to let them do that. I'm going to let them do that, and I'm going to stay on the sideline. And that happens again and again and again. And what is the product? The product is that gift goes neglected. I think there's also this one, and let me say, this one's hard to articulate in a bullet point or two, but let me explain to you what I mean. I think there's also a thing called the good church, and the good church can cause us to neglect our spiritual gift. The good church can cause us to forget. What is there a temptation? And certainly a place like Temple Terrace, and that's not an insult to you. Well, it's to look around if you are on the sideline, if you aren't involved, and to look around and just see everything's going great. Everything seems to be going amazing. The preaching's good. The song leading's good. Even the greeters at the door, man, they're just to this high level of excellence. Everything's just going great. Everybody's warm and welcoming and smiling. Everything's just going good. Everything's good in the church. And what can happen if you're sitting on the sideline, if you aren't involved in the work here at Temple Terrace? Well, it's to look around and begin to become desensitized. Become unaware to the fact that we need to be involved. We need to be working. Everything just seems to be going so good. I don't need to get involved. I don't need to add anything. Everything's under control. I think the good church can cause us to forget that we need to be involved. We need to be using our spiritual gifts for the Lord. And here's the last one for you. Maybe no identification. Certainly in my conversations with young people over the last 4 years, this one has definitely been the most prevalent. I've talked with many young people, and they'll say to me, Carson, I just don't know how these translate into the kingdom of God. I recognize I have these skills, I have these abilities, I have these talents. I just don't know how they translate. I don't know how I can use them in the kingdom of God, use them in the church, use them with fellow brothers and sisters. Or some have said, yeah, I just have no idea. I have no idea what I'm good at. I have no idea what my talents are, no idea what my abilities are. I just don't know. I know I should be. I know I should be involved. I just don't know how. Because I don't know what God has blessed me with. And church family, this list is just scratching the surface. It's just scratching the surface. But what I hope we all buy into this morning, what we have to buy into this morning, is that it's easy. It's easy to neglect the gift within us. It's easy to not use the gift God has blessed us with, that skill He has blessed us with to use in His kingdom. It's easy for a whole lot of reasons. And church family, because it's easy, we need to beware. Because the devil wants us on the sideline. He wants us sitting things out. He doesn't want us to employ these gifts that God has given us in His kingdom. And we'll talk about that this morning. And so this morning, here's what I want to do. It's pretty simple for you this morning. I just want to share three messages with you. I want to share three messages with you, particularly if you're on the sideline too. I want to share these three messages with you, not to shame you, not to beat you down. That's not what I want to do this morning, but to encourage you. Man, if you're sitting on the sideline, if you would label yourself that way after this sermon, I want you to be encouraged to get involved. Make today the day you start using those gifts for the kingdom of God. And let me also say, if you're not sitting on the sideline, I want to offer these same three points to you. This church family, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, is comprised of members sweating for the Lord. Man, when I left a few months ago, you all were working, striving, and getting after it. This body is comprised of so many members who not only love the work, but who are zealously performing it in their day-to-day life. And so I want to give you these three messages too. And not to say get off the sideline, but to say keep playing in the game. To keep day after day serving King Jesus and using those gifts in the kingdom, because the same is true for you. The devil wants you to be on the sideline. He wants you to be on the sideline. So church family, I hope these three messages, for whatever category you'd put yourself in, light the flame within you, give you encouragement and zeal for the work ahead. I hope you had your coffee this morning. We're going to go a little bit quickly. Don got me hooked on coffee, so blame him for that when I was here. But we're going to go quickly this morning. Lots of points to share with you, but I believe these will encourage us and help the work of the Lord here at Temple Terrace. Let me give you the first one. First message about gifts. It is God's expectation. It is God's expectation we use what we've been given. It is God's expectation we use what we've been given. There is an undeniable message in Scripture regarding any blessings that God gives. They are meant to be used by the people they are given to not neglected. And there's a pretty famous parable about that. We'll get to that in just a second. But there's also a lot of passages that talk about this. This message of Scripture that when God blesses, we are to use those blessings for His work. Think about 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Why does God bless? Why does God give in that passage? So that you may be generous. What's the expectation? When God gives, we do what? We use those gifts to be a blessing to others for the work of the kingdom. Think about Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. Jesus, in speaking to the apostles, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. And here it is, freely you have received, freely give. What's the expectation of Jesus, King Jesus? When we get, we are to what? Freely give to others. This is the expectation of Scripture. When God blesses, we are to use those blessings for His work. And there's a pretty famous parable, isn't there, as we said, that talks about this, the parable of the talent. It begins by saying in Matthew 25, "For it is like a man about to go on a journey," and you all know this, "who called his own slaves and entrusted their possessions, his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability." And we won't go on to read that in parable in its entirety, but you all know it, don't you? There's a master who gives talents, who gives money to his slaves, to his servants. And what does that represent? It represents God. God the master, and God giving blessings, certainly in the context of today's lessons, talents and skills and ability. But what do we see in the parable? There's an undeniable expectation. There isn't there, church family. An undeniable expectation that when the master gives what? Those servants are to use it. And we know that because one servant chooses not to. One servant chooses not to use his talents for gain, his money for gain, but he hides it, he neglects it, he buries it. And what does that master say to him? "Throw out the worthless slave into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What is the expectation? We use what we've been given. And we know that because that's not the case for the other servants, is it? They use what the master gives, and what does the master say to them? "Well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant." When we neglect our gifts, when we neglect our talents, when we choose not to be involved in the work of the Lord and employ what the Lord has given, we find ourselves in the position of the wicked slave. And that's a scary thing to think about, church family. It's a scary thing to think about. And so as we reflect on our own lives this morning and our engagement in the kingdom and using our gifts and talents for the Lord, I want to remind us, it's God's expectation. It's God's expectation. We get involved and we get to work and we use what He has given us. This is the expectation of all our blessings in life. And that should encourage us. Again, I don't want us to feel shame this morning. I don't want to beat you down. That should encourage us wherever you find yourself this morning. It should encourage us, even though we live a busy life, to get working for King Jesus on the schedule, right? It's God's expectation. It should prompt us. Maybe we don't know what our talents are. It should prompt us to take a few days off. Take a Friday afternoon and figure that out. Get a notepad and pen out and start writing down what we're good at and what we can do in the kingdom. It should prompt us. It should prompt us to get involved in the work, to not push it off, to not pass the buck, but to get involved for ourselves. It is God's expectation. We do this. Now, truth be told, I could end the sermon here, couldn't I? I'm not going to do that. Don also gave me coffee, but he also gave me 9 points. So that rubbed off on me too. So we've got a lot of ground to cover this morning. We could end here, couldn't we? It's God's expectation, so do it. But I don't want to end here. I don't want to hear. I do want to talk to you for much longer because I love being here. But also, I don't think the Holy Spirit would want us to stop here. I don't think God's word wants us to stop here, because guess what? God's word has a whole lot more to say about this, a whole lot more content on gifts and abilities and using them in the kingdom of God. Certainly it's God's expectation, but now I want us to ask, why is it God's expectation? And scripture is very, very clear about that. Why is it God's expectation? Well, one reason is we suffer when I neglect using my spiritual gift. We suffer when I neglect using my spiritual gift, my ability, my talents in the kingdom of God. And we saw this in 1 Corinthians, didn't we? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body,' is it for this reason any less part of the body? And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body,' it is for this reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were a hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But they are all many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again to the head, to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" I love this analogy Paul is making. If you've been raised in the church, you've been here for some time, you've probably heard this a million times, haven't you? This analogy that Paul is making. What is he comparing the church to? What is he comparing each and everyone comprised in the body to? He's comparing it to a body, to a human body. And what is the case Paul is making? He's making the case that everyone is vital for the efficiency of the body, for the health of the body. It's kind of weird to think about and kind of sad to think about, but what if one of your members of the body just kind of stops working, right? What happens? What if the liver says, "Yeah, I'm good today, I'm tapping out, long weekend, I'm not going to get involved." Or if your left leg says, "Man, right leg, you're doing great, I've been watching your performance, not going to get involved today, all you." What happens to the body? It can function, it can live, but not to the standard to which it's been called, to the functionality in which it was designed to function. It can't perform effectively or efficiently. And Paul makes the case that's exactly the same about the Lord's church, both universally and locally. When individuals choose to neglect their gifts and abilities, when they choose to sit on the sidelines, we all suffer. We all suffer. While church may seem great, it may seem great both on the outside and on the inside, and people are getting to work and great things are happening, church family, I want us to buy into, we suffer when I neglect using my spiritual gift. While things may seem great, while things are getting done, more could get done. More could happen for the Lord. We could be more effective and more efficient and work to a higher calling, to the standard to which God has called us to work. Church family, we suffer. We suffer when individuals choose to sit on the sideline. We're missing a leg, we're missing an arm, we're missing a kneecap and a shoulder, vital things for the overall health and efficiency of the body. Church family, if this is your story today, I want to encourage you to understand the effects of that decision. We all need to buy into verse 18 and what it tells us about the local church. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, verse 18, in the body just as he desired. That verse makes a declaration, doesn't it? A declaration that no one is here by accident. No one is here by accident. This church it was reminding us that you individually bring something to the table desperately needed by this local church of Temple Terrace. I'm tired of hearing in conversations, even in the short life I've lived, I've heard this seemingly a million times. Man, if only so-and-so would join. If only so-and-so would join. If only we got that preacher, then things could happen. If only so we got that deacon, then things would really begin to happen. Church family, you have everything you need right here, right now, to do what God has called you to do, to the highest level in which he expects you to do it, to go evangelize, to go save lost souls, to be a source of admonishment and encouragement in the kingdom, in the community of Temple Terrace, to offer guidance and correction. But when we choose to neglect our gift, when we choose to sit on the sideline for whatever reason, those things, whether we see it or not, those things become much harder to do in the local kingdom of God. And so, church family, I want us to remind us this thing. The church family, the local church of Temple Terrace, was not designed specifically or individually for you, but you were designed individually and specifically for the church here at Temple Terrace. God didn't look at you before the world began and maybe said, man, I look at Titus and I'm going to design the church around him, man. I look at his talents, I look at his skills, I look at his interests, and that's I'm going to add music because of that. I'm going to add different things. I'll add prayer because that's what Titus wants. That's not how the church worked before the beginning of the world. But guess how it did work? God looked at Titus and he looked at his church and he designed Titus with gifts and talents to be used in the kingdom of God. While the church was not designed specifically for us, church family, we got to buy into the fact we were designed specifically for the local church of God. That's kind of crazy to think about, isn't it? It's kind of wild to think about. God has blessed us with gifts and talents to bring something to the table that Temple Terrace desperately needs. God designed you that way. And so remember that. Remember the effects of your decision. Now, let me just also say that this church family, the majority of you are workers. This is where I want to pause and say that. I don't think the case is here at Temple Terrace that many people are sitting on the sideline, but when I was here, I saw you be workers in the kingdom, sweating for the kingdom of God. I remember seeing people here at 9 a.m. I remember seeing people here pressure washing the driveway. I remember one time, Ms. Shannon came up to the children's class with a saw and an axe to build a boat for the children's classes. There's a lot of things that happen. You all are workers for the kingdom of God, and I love that about you. I love that. I love your zeal and your passion, and certainly I have been blessed with that because it encourages me to see you doing that and your conversations in the community and you going out and evangelizing. I love seeing that. And so let me just say, to this point, we suffer when you neglect using your spiritual gift. We suffer. The devil wants you to get on the sideline. He wants to burn you out. He wants to overwhelm you. He wants to take you away from the work you are doing. Do not let him. If you are sweating for the kingdom of God here at Temple Terrace, if you are zealous for the work, if you're involved and dialed in, keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Because we suffer when I neglect using my spiritual gift. All right, let me give you the third one this morning. No gift is greater than one another. No gift is greater than one another. Going to keep this point really short, I promise, this morning. But I think it's worth saying, I think it's worth adding in this conversation about gifts and talents, we just lay this out there, and we just briefly mention it for just a moment. I think there's a temptation. I think there's a struggle, and I think it is subconscious for the large part, that we begin to create this hierarchy of spiritual gifts, right? You all know what I'm talking about. We're all kind of guilty of this, right? To look at things like extroversion, preaching, public speaking, man, those are song leading, all those top-tier Christianity, right? Top-tier talents, top-tier skills, and everything else, you know, introversion and being emotionally intelligent and being able to commute to young people in the junior high and high school, that's all just kind of lesser things. Lesser gifts and talents in the kingdom of God. Church family, I want to remind us this morning that that's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil. It's a bunch of nonsense and garbage. And if we buy into that, and here's why I'm mentioning it, if we buy into that lie, if we begin to do that in our mind and subconsciously rank spiritual gifts and talents in the kingdom, it's going to have detrimental effects. It's going to have detrimental effects in the kingdom of God. Personally, if we buy into that garbage, some of us are going to become angry. Some of us are going to become jealous at our fellow brothers and sisters. Personally, if we buy into that nonsense, there's going to be people who feel worthless in the kingdom of God and people on the other extreme who feel untouchable in the kingdom of God. Personally, if we buy into that lie, instead of serving, many will pass the buck or some won't let any others get involved. And that ideology, that belief system, that hierarchy, if left to its own devices, is detrimental. At best case scenario, you have some grumpy people and some division there. At worst case scenario, there's church splits and factions, and the work that King Jesus has called us to do of evangelism goes to the wayside. And so what is the truth? What does the devil not want us to realize? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Paul is saying, while you may think your gift isn't valuable, while you may feel useless, while you may feel like some of those other gifts are more important in the kingdom of God, it's not true. That's not true, church family. That's the simple truth of the matter. And again, going back to that last point, that's why we need everybody, everyone, to be involved in the work that God has called us to do. So I've laid a lot of information out there for you this morning, a lot of points out there for you this morning, a lot of texts and thoughts out there for you. So what do we do with all this? What are some things that we can take away from this truth of Scripture, that it's God's expectation that we suffer when I sit on the sideline, that no gifts are greater than one another? Well, let me give you four encouragements, church family. The church family here at Temple Terrace. Let me give you four encouragements that I believe will help us. And if we do these things, amazing things can continue to happen for the Lord. Here they are for you in closing. I promise they're short. First is this: don't sit on the sideline. We need you. Don't sit on the sideline. We need you. If you're someone who's sitting on the sideline currently in your work with the Lord and the work here at Temple Terrace, think about the expectation of God. No longer make excuses and don't let the devil win. The devil wants you there. He wants this church to suffer. He wants to make your life busy. He wants to consume you with other things. Do not let him. Evaluate yourself. Know what your gift is and use it for the Lord. And with that, and going along with it, find ways to use that talent and be assertive with that knowledge. If you know what your gift is, if you've done some introspection and you've identified what that talent is, what God has blessed you with to use in the kingdom of God, be assertive with that knowledge. Don't just sit around and wait for opportunities. Church family, if we just sit around and wait, we're going to be waiting for some time. So use that knowledge. Maybe host a Bible study, host a meal, be hospitable. If you're an introvert, go find that person who also is introverted and have that conversation with them. Encourage them, build them up. And maybe you don't know. Maybe you look around and you have no idea how you can be of value, what you can do in the local church. Go and ask somebody. There's a lot of amazing elders here, a lot of amazing evangelists, and they would love to talk to you. I'd love to spend time with you. And church family, I've done this now for 6 months full-time at Roswell. There's always a million things to do at a church. And so be involved. Be assertive with that knowledge of what your skill and your talent is, and go seek out ways to use it. And let me also say this. If you're not a member, think about God's expectation. Think about our lesson today. And I want to say there's a lot of reasons why you may not be a member. Good reasons. Maybe you're moving and you're looking for a church. Maybe you're evaluating if this is a scripturally sound church. Certainly should do. There's a lot of reasons why you may not be a member of the church. But let me just encourage you, if you find yourself in this position this morning, maybe you're visiting from the community, maybe you've been visiting for some time, think about that expectation of God. This is just my two cents. You can take it with a grain of salt. I think it's a lot harder to use our gifts and our talents for the kingdom of God when we aren't members of the local church. So think about that. It's hard to be dialed in. It's hard to know the needs of the saints. It's hard to be involved in the day-to-day life of the church and what it does in saving lost souls. So think about that expectation. And maybe today is the day you start your journey with a local church wherever you find yourself. And let me just say this in closing. Church family, keep up the good work. We reap what we sow. This is a body that I can say, one, I'm beyond proud of. I can say this, I talk about you all the time. In Georgia and Alabama and wherever I find myself, I talk about this church. I talk about your faith. I talk about your zeal. I talk about the work that you are doing in the kingdom of God. And let me just say, in way of closing this lesson, keep doing what you're doing. Keep employing those gifts. Keep using your talents. Keep using your skills in the kingdom of God. Why? Because church family, we will reap what we sow. We will reap what we sow. In closing, let me read Galatians 6, verse 8 for you. For the one who sows in the flesh will reap from the flesh corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good and using those talents for the kingdom of God. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Church family, don't give up. Don't be bogged down. Keep working for the Lord because we reap what we sow. In a moment, we're going to sing the song of invitation. Let me just say it's been so good being with you this morning and being with you and growing and being edified and singing with you and praising with you and communing with you. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here in that invitation. But we do want to pause and talk about a different invitation to end this lesson, an invitation to become a part of the body of Christ. You may be here this morning, and you are not a disciple of Jesus. You haven't been saved, forgiven of your sins. I hope this lesson has pierced your heart. I hope it's given you time to meditate. Because the reality is you aren't a part of the family of God, the body of Christ. And to become a part of that family, you must become a child of His. And the Lord invites you to make that decision. Certainly today, at this hour, a moment in which we are only guaranteed today to be saved, to wash away your sins in the waters of baptism. Maybe you're here and you haven't made that decision. We would love to help you out with that this morning. We'd love for you to enter into the family and the fold of God. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation this morning. Maybe as we've talked a lot about the church, you realize you have been on the sideline, and you've been on the sideline because the devil has been plaguing you and working against you and waging war with you, and you've been losing those battles, and you need prayers and you need encouragement. We'd love to help you out with that too and pray for you and be that church family that we all so desperately need, each and every one of us. Church family, if you are subject to the invitation this morning, we ask that you come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.